This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm here with Jack Delosa, who left college at 18 to start his own business. And after meeting a few bumps in the road, is now a successful speaker, author, and entrepreneur. Since starting entrepreneur school, The Entourage, in 2010, he's now an author of a bestseller, written two books, and listed in the BRW Young Rich List. So, Jack, tell me a little bit about your life. I know you're pursuing law back in college, and you dropped out and made the leap into business. You know, so, why did you do that?
Yeah, firstly, thank you very much for having me, Frida. We're huge fans of yours out here in Australia, so it's great to be on your show. The reason I discontinued my university was that I really value education. I've always sought out personal growth. I've always sought out education, and I didn't think university was conducive to that, ironically enough. So, you know, it moved too slow for me. It was far too theoretical. I was doing law, commerce, so I was doing a double degree. And I just couldn't see where any of it would apply in the real world. And so when I had an opportunity, well, created an opportunity to go and start a business with two others that had been previous bosses of mine throughout my teenage years, and that was a business-to-business call center. You know, I borrowed $20,000 from a very reluctant bank and went off on my first business journey.
Right. And I know that didn't work out, right? What did you learn from that experience?
A lot. I think this is the thing, right? I think discontinuing university, it doesn't mean you're done learning. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. I think it means you start learning in a lot of ways. In that, you know, I view my first 2 to 3 years in business as my apprenticeship. I knew I was going to need to fail forward. I knew I was going to need to make mistakes. I knew I was going to need to build networks from the ground up. I knew I would probably lose a little bit of money along the way. You know, I had foresight of all of this sort of stuff because I'd always had a natural affinity toward entrepreneurs. So I'd studied a lot of entrepreneurs. I'd studied a lot of people that have made impact in the world. And so I was very familiar with the kind of path that was required in order to become somebody of value and somebody that could build successful ventures and successful movement. While my first business didn't, it wasn't a runaway success. It didn't fail or go under or anything like that. It's just, you know, it sort of was a bit of a non-event, and 2 years into it, I decided to move on.
Right. Now, was age a factor at all at the start of your career?
Not really. No, nobody has ever. It was a factor in that I think that it helped, right? I think that whenever there's a perceived disadvantage, particularly in the field of entrepreneurship, can be utilized to one's advantage. And so being young for me, particularly when I started to get some wins on the board, was hugely advantageous because the media wanted to talk to me. And there was a bit of appeal around that. So I think that anybody who belongs to a minority or anybody that feels they have a particular disadvantage, when approached properly, I think often that can be turned into one of your greatest assets.
It's very interesting how you look at it that way, you know, because a lot of people, and it's a bit of a mindset, because some people will say it's a disadvantage, but you say, wow, you know, people look at it as a minority and that's an opportunity there.
It's complete mindset. You know, there's a great book by Malcolm Gladwell called David and Goliath.
Yep.
And he talks about the advantage of disadvantage. It's a really great book for entrepreneurship because when you start out in business, or even when you're a small to medium-sized business, you often have less than the businesses that you're competing against, right? If you're competing against a multinational or even a business that's been around for 5 or 10 years and you've only been around for a few years, it is an uneven playing field. It's not to say it's an unfair playing field, because it's not unfair. It's just that it's uneven, right? And so much of entrepreneurship is about how do you win from a position of perceived disadvantage? And in order to do that, it's all about turning weaknesses into strengths.
And it's perceived disadvantage. Now, tell us about this book, Unwritten. I understand it took you 3 years to finish writing this book.
Yeah, it's funny because my first book was a book called Unprofessional, and I wrote it in 4 days. Whereas my second book, Unwritten,
yep.
Did take me substantially longer than that because there was so much research that went into it and so much sort of perfectionism that went into the writing because everything that I was talking about is so close to who I am and you know, my sense of personal purpose. And so, you know, my whole life I've been fascinated by people and movements that have influenced the world in some way. And what's fascinating to me is that whether I'm in Rome studying Michelangelo or whether I'm in my car listening to an audio book, you know, Long Walk to Freedom by Nelson Mandela, or whether I'm on Necker Island with Richard Branson, you know, a modern day entrepreneur, the principles and the thought patterns that guide these people's lives are largely the same. And I became increasingly fascinated by that. You know, Michelangelo was a sculptor turned painter 500 years ago. Mandela was obviously a political activist more recently who led the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. Richard Branson is a modern-day entrepreneur. You know, you can study the Oprahs, who's a TV personality, or J.K. Rowling, who's an author. And when it comes to the paradigms that they use in order to approach life and work, they're saying the same stuff that Michelangelo was 500 years ago. So that's fascinating to me. And so that's what Unwritten is about, is it's about telling the stories of a lot of these great people in such a way that highlights commonalities around how they approach life and work.
And who are you hoping to reach out to with this book?
I didn't want to narrow it. With Unprofessional, it was strictly, you know, people that want to start and build a successful company. So it's very commercial. Whereas with Unwritten, it's anybody that wants to live a life that's meaningful to them.
Right. Now, in the very first chapter of Unwritten, you talk about the archetype of greatness, these characters, characteristics of greatness. No, so how does one achieve it? And what do you personally learn from the greats? What was your personal thing?
I think one achieves it. The fundamental premise of the book is that when what you do is fueled by who you are, that is when you do your life's best work. And so I think one achieves their own personal greatness, whatever flavor that may take, when there's complete alignment between how they live their life, what they choose to do, who they choose to be in relationship with, and who they are. And so it's really a book that's not about saying follow these rules. It's more of a protest about saying don't follow any rules unless they're true for you and reflective of who you are at your core. And just figure, you know, inner exploration and outer exploration, meaning the search of oneself and the search of the world and all of the different experiences and cultures that it has to offer, and try and find yourself and try and find your path, and that when you develop the courage to live according and in alignment with that path, to me, that's greatness.
You know, Jack, you know, a lot of people take a lifetime or not at all to sort of discover their purpose and all that. Now, why do you think you're different? What was it like growing up?
It's a really good question. I was fortunate. My parents ran a not-for-profit organization when I was 5 years old. And it was called Breaking the Cycle. Breaking the Cycle would take youth at risk. They'd take them off the street. They'd put them through a three-month program and then they'd place them into employment. And, you know, they were the best at what they did in Australia, in my country. And so that was fascinating to me because it demonstrated for me that the traditional system doesn't work for everybody. It demonstrated to me that anybody, even those from the most challenging of circumstances, the most challenging of backgrounds, can flourish and grow into more of themselves when put in the right environment and given the right TLC and given the right learning and growth opportunities, and they can go on to lead meaningful lives and gain meaningful employment if that's what they want to do. And so, you know, that was like I was like 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age, right? And so that's just how I was wired. I was wired to realize that there's a lot of people in this world that genuinely have a right to be pissed off. And that's not to say that being pissed off serves them, but they have a right to be pissed off. Because there's a lot of unfortunate circumstances and upbringings and all that sort of stuff. So I was taught firsthand at such a developmental age that people can be helped and really help themselves when education is done right. And so I think breaking the cycle played a large part in forming me and my belief that education is now my life's work.
Right. We'll talk a little bit about the Purpose Journal after this. I'm here with Jack Losa in Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money, BFM 89.9.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise a Game. If you just join us, I'm here with Jack Losa, talking about his business, The Entourage, his book, Unwritten, and of course, an upcoming project called The Purpose Journal. And he's based out in Australia. Jack, you know, you started The Entourage in 2010. What's the vision behind The Entourage?
The vision of The Entourage is to push civilization forward by enabling more people to live on purpose. So The Entourage was born out of dissatisfaction with traditional education and how little it focuses on EQ and how little it focuses or enables or invites the individual to think, what am I great at? What am I passionate about? What are my values and how do I build a life according to that? So we're an education institution focused on entrepreneurship and innovation, right? And so the vast majority of what we do is highly practical, tactical, how to start and build great companies or how to be a great contributor within another organization if you're embarking on a career. But we also address the personal side and help our students ensure that what they're doing truly aligns to who they are. And, you know, we believe that if we can do that at scale globally, then we can help humanity progress.
Right. And share with us some of your favorite success stories with The Entourage.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. You know, we've had everything from there's two guys, the Stuka cousins, that came for our very first one of our first programs in about 2011. And these guys were two cousins. They were literally working from their kitchen table, as cliche as that is. And then they came through our program for 2 years. And 2 years after they graduated, I got a text message, you know, from a big thank you for them and listing out all of the things that they learned through The Entourage. And thanking me because they just sold a portion of their business at a valuation of $50 million.
Wow.
Whereas 4 years earlier, they'd been at their kitchen table. It's as simple as, a lady named Cheryl Tai. She came through that same program and she had one cupcake store and she was great at baking cupcakes and there was so much heart and soul in the brand. And it was just about how do I develop this into a scalable business model where today she has four stores. She's diversified into a different franchise as well. She started another movement for female entrepreneurs and really gone on to flourish as an entrepreneur and a leader. I could go on for hours, but essentially our audience is people who are great at their craft and they come to The Entourage because they want some education and some guidance and some leadership around how do I turn this into a scalable business so that I can build it into something great.
Right. And the next thing I want to talk about is your Kickstarter project, The Purpose Journal. I've also helped back that one. I'm very excited to, you know, get hold of one for myself. Tell us about that project.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a big one on self-awareness. I think to know thyself is so incredibly important regardless of what your endeavor might be in life. And journaling has always been such a fundamental tool for me. I love meditation in theory. I just get really bored by it and I need to do it more actually because I'm just convinced of the benefits of it. But I've always done stuff like journaling or jogging or going to the ocean that gives me that meditative effect. And journaling has been such a tool for me over the years to connect with self and realign with where I'm going and sort of rejuvenate. And so the purpose journal was really just an excuse for me to package that, you know, into a tool. I think it's, $35 or something, that entrepreneurs or innovators or anybody who wants to live a meaningful life can jump on, get it, and then in their hands they've got a tool and they've got a resource where I'm guiding them through how to journal most effectively for them.
Right, and it's still ongoing at the moment.
Yeah, the project is still up on Kickstarter. It's just called The Purpose Journal. It was funny because we hit our target. You know, we hit 100% of our target. I think it was within 48 hours. And the campaign goes for 45 days. So we're almost at about 200% of target now, which so it's been a great exercise.
Right. Okay. Now, in the financial review, you were quoted saying that young entrepreneurs are rising tide globally. My generation is fed up with the old way of doing things and what's being taught in universities and so on. And I know you alluded to this earlier on about a little bit about university, but what are these old ways? If you talk about in organizations, what are these old ways that we need to get rid of?
So, you know, up and coming generations look at the traditional education and traditional career path and really have a lot of reasons, like statistical reasons, to go, why? Why would I follow that path? You know, here in Australia, graduate unemployment is the highest it's been in over 20 years. Graduate salaries are decreasing substantially. The value that students see in university degrees is substantially less than it was 20 years ago. And the reason is because universities, by virtue of their size and by virtue of their bureaucracy, cannot keep pace with the rate of change that's actually occurring in the real world. So particularly around areas like business and entrepreneurship, you're seeing a great divide form between where universities are and where the world is and what the world actually needs by virtue of, you know, what are the skills that employers are actually looking for in 2016 and beyond? And are they being taught at university? The research is, you know, continuing to indicate to a larger and larger degree that the two just don't correlate. And so the traditional path of go to high school, go to university, get a stable job, work your way up, be in that job or that career path for 30 or 40 years and then retire with the gold watch and the pension, has become realistic over the last 20 years, and thank God is my view. But and up-and-coming generations with the increased visibility over university outcomes, increased visibility over earning potential, and increased visibility over what most people retire with by way of financial resource at the end of the day, you know, we're rightfully asking, well, why would I just follow that path almost unconsciously like was once expected?
Okay, and I guess the final question is, you know, what do you find to be the greatest strength in the world of Gen Y entrepreneurs, or do you not even want to pigeonhole Gen Ys and all the different names?
I think the greatest strength, it's probably not unique to Gen Y, it's probably true of every generation as they start to mature, is that they don't yet know what's impossible. And that's the whole, you know, like I think it was Steve Jobs that said death is life's greatest gift, because it gives humanity the opportunity to replenish as more people come into the world with fresh eyes and they don't see it the way it was 40 years ago. They see it the way it could be. And so like every generation that precedes us, Generation Y's biggest strength is that we still dream of a future that doesn't yet exist.
All right. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Jack, and, you know, getting some thoughts, getting into your head about what you think about the world. I'm speaking to Jack DeLosa, talking about his book, Unwritten, The Entourage, The Company He Started, and also his Purpose Journal, a Kickstarter project. You've been listening to Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.